Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Be with you. Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son came into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil and make us children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant that having this hope, we may purify ourselves as he is pure, that when he comes again with power and great glory, we may be like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from the book of Haggai. In the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and say, Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, Once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, so that the treasure of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The later splendor of this house shall be the greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read responsively sections of Psalm 145 found on the insert. I will exalt you, O God, my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day will I bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. There is no end to his greatness. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your power. I will ponder the glorious splendor of your majesty and all your marvelous works. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving in all his works. The Lord is near to those who call upon him, to all who call upon him faithfully. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He hears their cry and helps them. The Lord preserves all those who love him, but he destroys all the wicked. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all the flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to Thessalonians. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for the day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you, but we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good word and work. The word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. And the second and the third married her, and so on, the same way all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died in the resurrection, finally died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? The seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in the age and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor shall be given are given in marriage. And indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. The fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, which speaks to the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now God, he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him all of them are alive. The gospel of the Lord.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. When I was a kid, I can remember that the day after Christmas, my mother would sit us down and say, okay, now it's time to write the thank you notes. And I really hated doing that. I didn't know what to say. I would, thank you for the... What else do you say to fill up a card? And I know when my grandkids came, it was a couple of years ago when my grandkids came to visit, one person invited us to swim in their pool and another person invited us over to dinner, and so I had the grandkids write thank you notes. And they're like, what is that? No idea. And I had to give them a template for how you, write a thank you note. And I think we've kind of lost that art of why we write thank you notes and how to write thank you notes. But I also think about the sabbatical that I had this summer. So there's a waterfall, and as you know, I love waterfalls, but if you travel through the Southwest in the summer, there's very few waterfalls. It's pretty hot and dry. But I wanted to see this fall. It's called Calf Creek Fall. And it's in the middle of Utah, in the middle of a desert. And it's a really tough path, and it was about 100 degrees at 6 o'clock at night, but the sun set at 8, so it's 4 miles in, 4 miles back. They said it's all sandy and rocky and on the side of the cliff, and so, it's going to take you a while to get there. And there's no services, there's no bathrooms, no water, so bring everything you're going to need. And when I got to those falls, it was glorious. It was absolutely amazing, and there was a pool at the bottom, and it was soft sand, and you could go in the pool at the bottom, not a swimming pool, just a blue-green, cold, but it felt so good because it was 100 degrees, and I had been hiking for 2 hours, and I was the only one there at that moment, and I thought, God has created these amazing things, that water flows in the desert in the summer and offers this refreshment. And I just thanked God. It was unbelievable. And then other people came along and it kind of wrecked that, but that's okay. I think about when I was hiking the northern coast of Ireland and it was pouring rain and freezing cold and the wind blowing sideways, but it was like even that, like how majestic is the coast, all rocky and craggy with the wind blowing and the rain and I just stood there and said, wow, thank you, God. Thank you. And it was shortly after I got back, Karen and I were in Canandaigua for the College for Congregational Development, and I went walking early morning and I talked about it the Sunday after that. The sun was coming up and the whole sky turned a bright orange, the entire sky. Until I turned around, and when I turned around, the entire sky was black with this giant rainbow. You could see the entire rainbow, and it looked close enough to touch, and you could see each band of color. And it stayed there for more than a half an hour. As I walked, the rainbow just stayed there. And I stopped and said, wow, This is incredible. Last Sunday at the baptism, holding that little baby Noah, and even though he was a little bit fussy and wanted to sleep instead of being thrown around, I thought, how amazing, how gorgeous, how beautiful, how wonderful. There are so many times and ways and reasons to say thank you. Wow. We have 2 weeks left of discipleship season, this week and next Sunday, and then we go into Christ the King, and then we go into Advent. And the idea of discipleship season, it's ordinary time, it's green time, it's green because we're growing in discipleship. We dig into the scriptures a little more. We spend a little bit more time in prayer. We spend a little bit more time in mission, looking at how can I deepen my faith? How can I deepen my connection with God? And how do we proclaim God's holy word out to the world? How do we help people to see that amazing things that God has done for us? So I want to ask you a question. How many of you in the last couple of months have gone to a movie or read a new book or gone to a new restaurant or done something where you saw something that you'd never, it was like, great, this restaurant's great or this new wine's great? How many of you? And how many of you then told a friend or a family member or a neighbor, I did this and it was really amazing? Yeah. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands this time. How many of you have done that with an experience that you've had of God or of Jesus? Told a family member or a friend or a neighbor, I saw this, I heard this, I felt this, I knew this, I studied this, and told someone. Augustine, who is a 5th century theologian, said, and if I can find it, if you're going to praise God for eternity, you might as well begin now. We don't do that. But the psalm today, Psalm 145, is, so there's 150 psalms. It's the last one to have a superscription. And the superscriptions are the little, some Bibles have it, just a little comment. This was written for the ascent to the temple. This is written for a wedding. This is written for, Psalm 145 says, praise. And it's the last superscription through the Psalms. Psalms 145 through 150 are praise psalms. And they're read most often on a Sunday morning. In case you've never noticed, we don't read all the psalms on a Sunday morning over the three-year lectionary. We most often read the praise psalms, 145 to 150, or other variations of that. But the psalm today says, I will exalt you, O God, my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day will I bless and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. There is no end to his greatness. One generation shall praise your works to another and declare your power. This psalm was written not only to praise God, but to say how we should praise God, when we should praise God, and for what do we praise God. And it says forever and ever. Over and over again, forever and ever. We are going to be in God's presence forever and ever, opportunities to praise. And it says, every day will I bless you and praise your name. And it made me immediately think of Psalm 119, verse 164, that says, seven times a day will I praise you. Seven times a day, which is the conservative Jewish way of prayer. It was the original monastic way of prayer. Wake up in the middle of the night to praise God. The first thought as I wake up in the morning is to thank God for this new day. As we head to work, thank God. At noonday when we stop for a meal, thank God. Mid-afternoon when we take that break, to thank God. Seven times a day will I praise you and bless your name forever and ever. And then it talks about the glorious and majestic and marvelous works of God. And we think of all creation, and we think that we're all made in the image of God. And I think of all the flowers and the fruits and vegetables that are creations of God. I think about the lake. I think about the vineyards around. I think about the farms. There are so many things that God has created and continues to create and will create forever and ever that are amazing, absolutely amazing. And then in verse 5, it continues, I will ponder all your marvelous and majestic works and give thanks. And I think about, I preached a couple of years ago about this woman who just had a hard life. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong in her life. But when you would casually say to her, when I would casually say to her, how are you doing? She would answer, I am blessed. And then she would tell you the reasons why she felt blessed. Even though everything else was going on in her life that I was aware of, she was blessed. November is the month of Thanksgiving. It used to be we just, you know, around the Thanksgiving table would give one reason we're thankful. And some people have morphed that into the month of November, giving thanks for the many blessings in our lives, thinking about those blessings. Some people I invite to do a gratitude list, to list 10 things that you're grateful for today. And it's a good practice to do at night before you go to bed. What went well, what didn't go so well, and what am I thankful for? And what do I want to do differently tomorrow? When you get a little more practiced at it, you can make a different list every day. 10 things you're grateful for today. 10 things you're grateful for tomorrow that are different. And how long can you go without repeating? And that gives you just a hint of how many things are in our lives for which we should praise God. You have an index card with your bulletin, hopefully, and you have a golf pen in front of you, hopefully, and I'm going to give you a few moments to write down things that you are grateful for. Just one or two words of each. You don't have to write the story. But I'm going to give you a few minutes to write down, and then I'm going to invite you to put it in the offering plate or put it on my desk, and we're going to post these, so you don't have to put your name on it, but you can, to see the many things that we're grateful for. I know once you get started, it's hard to stop, so you can continue this as you wish. But I do wish to collect them, so at the end of the service, you can bring them to me or bring them next week. But the psalm doesn't end there. So in the lectionary today, it skips a bunch of verses from 5 to 18. But 18 and on tells us about some of the things that God does for us. And it says that God is righteous in everything he does. God is loving in everything he does. God is near to those who call upon him. God fulfills our desires. God hears our cries and helps us. I gotta say, what an awesome God. To be righteous in everything, loving in everything, to always be there, to always hear me, to answer my cries. And it continues and says, all creation will praise God. Everyone will praise God. When we recognize the amazing things that have happened for us throughout eternity, for us and for everyone, these amazing gifts. And so I also think at the same time, so does God need our praise? Does God ask for our praise? Is God going to stop loving us if we don't praise? And I think about when my kids were little, and not when they were teens, but when they were young adults as well. And every once in a while, rarely, but once in a while, they'd say, you're a great mom. And how good that feels. But it doesn't change whether I love them or not. Or when Ben and Stella, a couple of times ago when they visited, we painted some things on the basement walls, and they're like, you're an awesome grandma. You let us paint on the walls. Well, they're basement walls, you know, not a big deal. It feels good, but I don't need it to love them. But it does make us stop for a moment. When they say that to me and when I hear that, we are really present with each other and aware of what has happened, what has been done. And I think when we stop and praise God, it's like stopping at that waterfall or that sunrise or when you see the lake, where you stop for a moment and you say, wow, our God is an awesome God. Can I get an amen to that? Our God is an awesome God.
Amen.
So the question I have for you this week is, when are you going to tell a friend or a neighbor that? Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and join together in saying the Nicene Creed on page 358 of the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 358. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is.
Prayers of the People is Form 6, found on page 392 in the Book of Common Prayer. In peace we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work,
for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone,
for this community, the nation, and the world,
for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
We pray for the just and proper use of your creation,
for the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression,
for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble,
for those who minister to the sick, friends, and the needy,
for the peace and unity of the Church of God,
for all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth,
for Michael Curry, our presiding bishop, Prince Singh, our bishop, for Lynn and Gary, our priests, and for all bishops and other ministers. For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. Hear us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them
who put their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father.
In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown. Praise God and left undone. And so hold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in the midst of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning and welcome. A couple of things. Tomorrow we're observing Veterans Day, so the office will be closed and there is no Bible study tomorrow night. But at the same time, I would like to thank all of you who served. So if you have served, please stand. Not him alone. After coffee hour, or as coffee hour is winding down, I'm going to give a bit of a presentation on my sabbatical. Several of you have asked for it. I promise I won't make it too long of a travel log of every picture of everything I did. But if you're interested, and if you're not, please don't come. I don't need to do this. But if you'd like to, it'll be downstairs in the parish hall at the end of coffee hour. We have youth group tonight, so please keep us in your prayers. Thank you to everybody who gives of their time, talent, treasure, food, ideas, help. And because we have youth group, if you could fold up the tables on this side when we finish coffee hour, and we'll put the chairs in a semicircle, which will be perfect for a sabbatical presentation and youth group. Are there other announcements? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Eucharistic Prayer B continues on page 367 in the Red Book of Common Prayer, page 367. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Post-communion prayer can be found on page 365 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father,
you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of our heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.